the bit of me that's half English is beating the out of the part that's half Dutch going, go sit in a corner with driving a SAF.
On the Fry website, you can go on there and snitch on someone.
Hello, and welcome back to the Cars Rule Everything Around Me podcast with myself, Edwin, and Will behind the camera. Not behind the camera, sorry, in front of the camera. Behind the camera is Ben. And you, if you're watching this episode, you'll notice we've got a very... We're starting to get festive. Mm. You're listening to this probably on the 19th or 20th of December.
Just before Christmas.
12 episodes of Cream. Call that the 12 days of Christmas. So we've got a nice little fire burning away in the back of our sphere. I think that might be a safety hazard. But yes, thank you very much for listening so far to 12 episodes.
Yeah.
At the beginning of every Cream podcast, we ask ourselves whether cars rule or ruin everything around us. And Will, this week?
I am going to go into ruin.
Oh!
Only because it's been so many rules. I could be a rule.
You're just doing it out of...
I'm just doing it. Well, no, not
just in case. Out of
that. The Range Rover that I bought very cheap and... It only actually needs two or three things doing.
Well, you mentioned it last week.
Yeah.
That it was soon to run out of MOT.
Yeah.
It has now run out of MOT.
We
are pre-recording these over Christmas so that you guys have got something to listen to.
If I'm not back by the time this is live, trust me, it's ruined from here on out.
It's a Christmas miracle, aka Christmas ruin.
I really am missing it.
Yeah.
In these winter months.
Well, you turned up in the 350Z yesterday and I was like, I was in the 350Z. And then you turned up again today in it. And I was like, that must be getting old.
No, do you know what? The 350 is very, very, it's not painful at all.
Really?
But it's just compared to a Range Rover.
Yeah, it's not,
he does not,
he can never be him.
I get a smidgen of leg ache. That's all. But it's very comfortable.
Do you ever do that thing where you have to lean forward and adjust your back where you're like,
well, that's not too bad. It's just the knee.
Just the knee?
And manual.
Yeah, manual's not so pleasant. Yeah, because you had a bit of traffic yesterday and today.
Yeah, great. Love that. Also, don't get that traffic in the Range Rover. What the hell?
People are seeing a 350Z and going, yo,
you know what?
It's the 350. Is that
the HR? He's going to get that left leg going. But 350 is very, very good. Almost as good on fuel as the Range Rover. But also, yeah, just not having a car sat there and not doing anything. I have the parts to fix him.
But he's just not bugged
yet. I just need the time.
So it's a ruin. For me, it's a rule still because this weekend I quickly came in and started work on V2 of my Honda Beat.
Ooh.
Because I bought a load of parts. I've been collecting parts for that. This is for the second channel for Two Dead Center. I've collected a full... Well, I will tell the story fully in the video, but as a little teaser, I went and bought... I think actually we talked about this already. If not, oh well. If we have, oh well, have it again. I went and bought a load of parts off a car that was the dream Honda Beat build from back in the day, the one I sat in, the one I was like, I love these things, I want one. I bought parts off that car and I'm slowly installing them for a second channel video because I'm done a V2 of the Beat.
Is that car dead?
What?
Is that car dead?
I think it might be dead, yeah. Unfortunately.
For what reason?
For money reason. He wanted to break it up. No one would pay him the price of the car because the amount of people trying to buy a tiny K car, especially a highly modified one, is not that big. So it was worth more in parts. We broke it up for parts.
Damn.
So I've bought most of the parts from that car, including I persuaded him to let me have the number plate of his old car, which was the background of my computer for the last 10 years.
What?
That's cool.
So you can put that plate on the Beat?
No, as in I just have the physical plate. Okay, so it's just like a memento thing. I did kind of think about that, buying the shells V5 so that I could swap the number plate over. I still kind of like the idea of that, but I have at least the physical number plate of literally every day I've worked at my computer for 10 years, I've stared at that number plate, VIL3954, and I have it now. That's cool. So I'm in rule. I've put my coilovers on. It's already sitting a bit nicer. I've got to put the body kit on, which is a different color red. We won't worry about that. But I want the whole car to change color because red cars, for me, that you can't run.
Can't run.
I've got to get that rid of that. But yeah, I'm happy. Ben, behind the camera.
Hello. I am... in ruin.
Oh, yeah. Why is that happening?
Because on Monday evening,
I was
on the way home in my lovely X5, which I've so far had no issues with.
Yeah.
I got about 20 minutes from home and I heard pop. I went, it's odd. Nah, it's not a tyre.
Was it the weasel?
Pop went the weasel.
Yeah.
But I thought, nah, it's not the weasel because there's no tyre pressure light. So I thought, carry on driving.
Lovely.
Lo and behold, red tyre pressure light. Nice. So I pulled over and flat tyre. Fine.
Because of what?
My first day of flat tyre. And I thought, it's not a problem because I can just jack up the car. I can I can take the wheel off. No jack in the car.
So great. But Ben, you're a Gen Z and it's 2024. Yeah. So you didn't run over a nail.
No.
What was it you ran
It
at?
Was a disposable vape.
Oh, that's tough to see.
But I still think you just ran over like a teenager.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Ben just killed the cut. Killed maybe.
You just felt a, oh, bump. Ooh, that's weird.
Bits of perfume.
These vapes are huge these days.
Yeah, it was vape, a blue raspberry flavor one as well.
Ooh.
Was it? Did you test it?
Yeah.
You go...
No, but that wasn't very fun. So I had no jack. It's called my mate Sam. Shout out Sam. Came to me at midnight.
Yeah. With
not only...
Sam is the man that owned the R32.
He had an R32 Mark V.
He's a fellow man of cars.
He is. And he now has a DC2 Honda Integra Type R, but it's a UK spec one.
Good stuff.
It's one of 500.
Good stuff. Man, we should get Sam on the podcast. Could he replace you, Ben?
Yeah, fine.
Did he replace the wheel for you?
No, I did that.
Was there some trouble
involved? But he came and he was wearing like nice blue jeans and stuff. Ooh. He led in the puddle. Just
good stuff. Good man.
Good man, yeah.
Now, here's a question.
For no reason.
I feel quite tired.
Tell us about the sock.
Yeah, that's let's get on to the sock.
So,
or socks, perhaps.
So the X5 that I have has, they are called BMW Le Mans wheels.
Yeah.
And they are
168.
Yeah.
And they're not standard, right?
Not for that
on
car.
Not
for that one.
Yeah. But they are X5 tyres. I don't know if the tyre iron would be different, but the tyre iron on that was, it's your classic S shape almost.
Okay. Yeah.
But it doesn't, when you put it against, because the wheels have such a deep dish. Concave. There was, when you put the tyre iron in there, between the bit you actually pulled down and the edge of the wheel was like...
It was hitting.
3 mil.
Yeah.
And obviously jumping on that to actually break it off, that's going to scratch the wheel. So I thought, it's raining. I'm done. I want to go to bed. Sock off.
So it's, you know what? I think that often, it's raining outside. I'm a bit tired. Let's take a sock off.
I need to get a wheel off.
Let's get those socks off,
you
boys.
Know when you see like articles online, it's like, you won't believe... how he did this, or you can use this one trick.
Quick Fit hates him.
Learn how to do it.
Yeah.
This guy gets wheels off with just his socks.
Yeah, I didn't even use a tyre iron. I literally just put my sock
in there. You put a sock between your wheel and your tyre iron
inside the sock.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
He was like in a little cozy thing.
You used protection.
Yeah, it bashed up against the wheel, but obviously didn't scratch it because there was a sock.
Were you standing on one leg?
No, I put my shoe back on without a sock.
Crazy.
That's disgusting.
That's crazy.
Thank you.
That's awful. That's actually true. I didn't know that part of the story. That's truly awful.
Will has a massive aversion to feet. I think we've actually mentioned this on the podcast before.
Quite possibly.
But anytime really something about feet is mentioned, Will's not a fan of it.
I'd probably run you
sorry,
over.
Sorry. What would you have done?
Well, I would have just used it without a sock.
Would have had the correct tools in the car.
Yeah.
Well, that's actually a lie because I don't ever keep those tools in the car.
Do you know what though? I'm going to say something for the podcast right now. When I had my Audi A3, I had to put different wheels on it. Which meant I had the old wheels in my shed. And at the time I was like, what I'm going to do is get that wheel, put a crap old tire on it, just in case it's a full size wheel, put it in the boot with a proper trolley jack and like, just like a socket set.
So that's what I do with the M3.
I thought, you know what? No, it's like 100 quid. No, I don't want to do that. Anyone watching, just do it. Because in the situation I was in, I was so annoyed because I had the
means, the opportunity and the motive. That's it.
I could do it. Just didn't have the bits.
Yeah.
But Sam pulled up. He had everything for me.
Do you have a breakdown cover?
Yeah, but I was 20 minutes from home.
This links back to an old podcast when someone asked what's the best tool. Another example, the best tool you can have is a good friend. A car friend who knows when you go, snap that bolt, or I've broken down, or something's gone wrong, and they'll go, I'm in the car.
Best tool is a friend with tools.
Exactly. Like for instance, the other night.
Our tools.
Will and I had a birthday dinner. For a friend a few weeks ago now, and we said we'll meet in London, and I decided I'm going to drive in to London.
So did I.
Will said the same. So I pulled up outside this pub in central London. Cool. I got out. My girlfriend was on the phone to Will's girlfriend and said, we're just down the street. And then my girlfriend looked across at me and went, Chloe was saying Will can't find his Range Rover key. He's driven here and now the car can't find it. And she said it to me in the most as if it was just like, his fuel filler cap went open as if it was something small, and I went no, oh no. And I was fully, and I in that moment I was fully prepared to leave them at the pub and us get in the Merc and drive back to Northampton to get a key, because if you don't know, a keyless car that you can drive with a key in your pocket, you get in, you hit the start button and it drives. There are some cars where usually the older ones, you could then get out. Once the car's running, you could get out of the car could drive away, and it will keep driving until you turn it off.
Yeah.
Once you turn it off, it will then go, I don't have a key near me. Yeah. I'm not starting.
Hold on.
Allowing you.
Who's driving this thing?
To leave the car, leaving the key at home, drive 100 miles away, turn it off, and then go, you can't get home.
Which was exactly my worry, because I also, not a new Range, it's a 12-year-old Range Rover, but it's a keyless start Range yeah. Rover, looks somewhat modern in London. I was in panic.
It's tough to see.
I don't have much in that car. I never keep much in my car anyway, but I was like, great, this is going to get ransacked, because I thought I might have to leave this overnight. All the doors open.
Yep.
I figured out a way. I was like, I'm going to fool any potential thief. I got in the back of the car and I locked the doors nearest the curb and I folded in the mirrors. Now, folding in the mirrors was a little hint.
That's a good car.
For a moment, I was like, how have I done that?
Yeah. Because and I walked up at this point. I arrived to you at this point, clambering through the back of the car, locking doors and pressing the wing mirror switch in.
And I was just going to leave one door unlocked, like on the roadside. I thought, then a chancer, he's going to see the mirrors folded in, see that the pin is down on the driver's
that's
side.
That's locked.
And I'll be all right. Still a bit worried,
yeah,
but fine. And then I got in the car afterwards. I had the door wide open.
So sorry, to quickly check, when you arrived in London, you turned the car off and then it wouldn't start again.
And then it wouldn't start again. It said, smart key not detected or whatever the hell it says. I think it says read your manual.
You might find a key in there.
Yeah. Maybe there is actually an instruction there. I don't know. But I went to press it and my door was wide open. Wide open. And it said, sorry, no smart key. And I got out and I was just straight panic mode. I was like, right, need to figure out a way to sort this. Might have to stay overnight, whatever. So I was in the back of the car. I folded the mirror and I said to my girlfriend, I said, can you just, because I realized I folded the mirrors in. I'm pretty sure you shouldn't be able to do that if it's. And I said to my girlfriend, can you just jump in? Because I couldn't reach the start button. I said, can you just press the start button? She jumped in and pressed the start button and it started. I was like, okay, hang on.
And both Will and I looked at each other and were like, okay, it's here.
Right. I was like,
start unpacking.
I was like, right, Chloe has the key. She has the key.
Yeah.
She is the culprit. It's no other way. So I'm there accusing, saying, you have the key. Well, they're emptying bags. Patting down, full strip search in the middle of the street. She didn't have the key. So I was like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
Where's my key? I left it in the door card.
So when the door was open, it was far enough away from the car that car's like, key's not there.
Yeah.
But when the door's closed, yeah, mate, I can see that guy.
Would you like to know why I left it in the door card?
Yeah, if you could.
I left it in the door card with some pliers because the bonnet release snapped that morning on the Range Rover. So I managed to, when putting the pliers in, I also put my key in at the same time.
Nice. Okay. So one problem led to another.
Yeah, so there you go. There's some more reasons to ruin.
Yeah. But great. So we're going to be a little bit light on news because we're a couple weeks behind. Mm. Did you find something?
There are some newses.
Okay.
And these are good newses.
Dacia is doing something?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, we have had, oh no, we've already spoken about that. We drove a Dacia.
Yeah.
Well, some people argued with us on the pronunciation.
I thought it was Dacia.
I thought, I've always said Dacia because it's easier. And then someone goes, Dacia, actually. And someone's going, no, it's Dacia or it's Dacia.
Yeah. I want to say Dacia.
Dacia is just way easier.
Yeah. Also, Dacia, because Top Gear, because it's Dacia Sandero.
Dacia feels like to me. What? It feels like Lancia. Lancia.
Oh, yeah.
I will say Lancia.
It's a Lancia.
Because it's Lancia to me.
It's a Lancia Delta Integrale.
Murcielago. Murcielago.
Yeah, that's... I'm not saying that. I'm never doing it.
I know it's correct.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it.
Was it... and also, Gallardo is the correct.
Gallardo is correct.
I'm a Gallardo,
it's
man.
A Gallardo.
I'm a child.
Have you not heard Akon?
There's two L's in that word.
Yeah.
Gallardo.
Yeah. And if you want to jump up...
Yeah.
In my Lamborghini Gallardo.
Please go ahead.
Yeah. So
I've pulled that up. It is Dacia.
Yeah,
it is
officially.
Dacia.
And then also, there were people in the comments who were like, I am Romanian. And thank you for saying it correctly.
Well, there you go.
Oh, I thought you were just going to say, I am Romanian.
No, Dacia is Romanian company.
Right. So they are saying correct Dacia.
They are, because it's a Romanian company, apparently as Romanian language, in Romanian.
Yes.
Yeah. I assume so.
I assume maybe there might have been a few that slipped through the net.
Yeah.
Maybe we said Dacia one or two times, but we did make a conscious decision to try and say Dacia. Yeah, exactly.
There are multiple takes where Edwin pauses and resets it.
I go, this Dacia, this Dacia.
Dacia, not Dacia news. Quite cool news. A company, I mean, this has happened a few times, but a company is making a brand spanking new Mark 1 Escort.
I love it.
It's not MST, which are, MST are quite popular. They're doing a 6R4. I think they've done an RS200.
They've done Mark 1 and Mark 2.
Two Escorts they're quite famous for.
Yeah.
So it's a 70s, 80s car, but when you buy it, it'll be on a brand spanking new... Yeah. That'd be a year old, but yeah, fine.
I absolutely love this, like, this thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I get it, that I'm sure at some point manufacturers are going to go, whoa, 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 whoa. But the fact is that there are, when demand outstrips supply, nice bit of A-level economics there, the prices go up.
Yeah.
And with Fords, that is the thing. Yeah. Everyone wants a Mark II Escort. I couldn't care if it said, if it was a BYD Mark 1 Escort.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's a SsangYong Mark 1 Escort. I want a Mark 1 Escort.
Yeah.
I don't care what the badge or the VIN number says, or that's not originally an RS1800. I don't care.
People just want
to do skids around a farm with a Mark 1 Escort.
There is a particular type of it's not about the is it chassis VIN matching parts. It's like, I know I want the Escort with that kind of engine. It doesn't have to be a Ford engine.
No.
It can be any kind of engine, and it to have this particular type of look.
Yeah.
And also be like semi-usable.
That's the dream. So the more we can do this with cars, like, to me, a perfect example of a car to do that to, Datsun 240Z.
Mm.
When I was looking, like, first, like, okay, cars are now on the horizon for me. I was looking for first cars. There were 240Zs selling around the £3,000 to £4,000 mark. Now, they were rough. They were project cars. Mm. A good one was 7.5 to 10. Mm. But they're like 40, 50 grand now. That's never happening. I'm never buying one of those because that's not a 50 grand car.
Yeah.
But if someone can go, we're remaking them, and you can get in for, buy a shell and do all the bits for like 15, 20, put me in.
That is the problem. I can't see a price on this one.
It'll be money.
But that is the problem. These companies, especially MST, which this one isn't, I think I remember looking at the 6R4 they were going to make, because they were going to make a Metro 6R4 using a supercharged Audi engine, and it's something like £200,000 to £300,000. Which is not that far off of that is probably maybe a hundred grand saving on a real one.
Yeah.
But
that's still, enough to worry.
I would assume if you've got that money, you might go, well,
is that the supercharged, V6 S4 like Chen?
Yeah.
That's a cool engine.
Yeah.
I've never thought of that as a swap.
Yeah.
But that's a cool idea.
But that was, again, it's just like unobtainium.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous. Again, a 6R4 is probably not. But Mark 1 Escort, I haven't found the price yet, but Boreham Motorworks, there's going to be two choices of engine.
Okay.
Neither are going to be anything electric or hybrid
stuff
or anything like that. I'm interested to see what that might be.
Yeah. Does it say the engine?
Doesn't say what engine.
Okay.
I'm going to assume
Pinto,
some kind of four-cylinder or like a, it would be good to have an NA option.
Yeah.
To me, that kind of car suits.
A little ITBs.
No turbo.
Yeah.
Or carbs. Lots of revs. Not that much power, like 250 less or 300 and less in a car like that is just about rowdy enough.
C20 is the thing that people do in lots in those.
Seen a few C20s.
The Vauxhall, so people just putting Vauxhall engines in Fords.
Yeah.
People on both sides.
Whoa.
Wait.
That's kind of cool.
Hold on. boys, set aside our differences. This is the car.
Same side. no electric. Two choices. It'd be good if they had like a really good NA engine. And then it's like, if you don't want that, YB Cosworth or some kind of turbo. A K20 would be cool.
K20 would be good.
There are a few out there
already
K20, but someone like an officially nice setup.
Yeah, K20 proper, thing.
They're also doing an RS200 as well.
Ooh, Mark II.
Sorry, RS200, as in Group B rally car. RS200, yeah.
I always make, in my head, RS200 and RS2000, I mix up all the time.
Yeah.
My brain leaves
Ford
out the extra.
Come out with too many RS number.
Yeah.
RS number.
RS turbo, RS1800, RS1600,
1800, 100.
Brother, I can't keep up.
Just RS.
Yeah.
We'll do. But yeah, that sounds cool. I mean, it'll probably be quite expensive.
Yeah, but
that's
hey,
what I mean. There are these people who grew up with these cars and now they've got, I don't know, 100 to 200 grand to spend, and they're still going to buy a Mark 1 Escort. It does, not that I think it's a waste, but it does interest me that that's what someone would spend all that money on.
Although there is a company called, in the UK, called Retro Power.
Yeah.
And they are, the easiest way to think of it is a Singer 911, but for whatever you want.
Gordon Murray.
Yeah, Gordon, these guys are, if I'm honest, if I was to leave like YouTube stuff, I've actually looked multiple times. I checked when we were working at CT, I'll admit, I used to check every week or so if they had job vacancies. Because we went there once to do an Alpha GT Junior, and it had a Millington Diamond.
I remember that one.
Which is related to Ford.
Light blue car.
Yeah, which is a Ford originally engine, right? That is then, oh no, that
was it a Vauxhall engine?
That's a Vauxhall engine that is then completely overhauled by this company. But that is, they will take an old car and will make it the guy.
Yeah.
He's, you know, they did the Sport Quattro. They did a shortened Sport Quattro style thing. They've done a Jag, like a Mark II Jag, but I think they had a 2J in it. But ITBs, like, those are the cars that I can understand going and giving someone 200 grand for that.
Yeah.
Where it's one-off for you, your spec, the thing you've always wanted. But to go, hi, I'd like a £100,000 standard car, please, to then start from, is a bit like, well, what's the point?
What kind of, I mean, on that, what car is actually going to be, like, maybe in the last, like, 10, 15 years, is going to be a...
I've said this a few times.
Yeah.
I believe, and I would, right now, this is, what is it, Shark Tank in America? Yeah. We call it Dragon's Den. If someone came in to me and said, I want to start a business singerizing L322 Range Rovers, I'm investing. Because anyone that goes and drives an L322 will admit car. He's the car.
Mm.
There's nothing you could ever want more from an L322 other than reliability, which is what singerizing it could do. Maybe it gets the 5-litre Jag supercharged engine, although that's got issues as well. But something to bring that car to modern times to use, i.e. he's got, you know, stuff, radar cruise and all that sort of stuff. Maybe he looks like a pre-facelift. If you're like me, you like the older L322s. Mm. But something like that, I think will work. That will be money.
You get like the mid-facelift with the later interior. But it's also got CarPlay.
L405 spec.
It's got every option. Like, in the later like autobiography ones, you could have like radar cruise and a leather roof, but then you could also customize that stuff.
Yeah. Kingsley, there's a company called Kingsley who do that with old original Range Rovers, two-door Range Rovers, and you can have them put an LS in it and, you know, CarPlay and all that sort of stuff. But I believe there will be a point where everyone goes, hold on, this was the guy. This was the Range Rover.
We miss this guy. Yeah. Also, the one the farmers are still using and stuff.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
There's L322 is I don't know how I've forgotten the word. It's classless.
Yeah.
You know, an L322 can be driven by anyone, but everyone will get that feeling of, this is a car. This is a car.
This is the guy.
And I feel, even when driving your car, I drove your Range Rover the other day, I was like, man. Oh man, I need this.
It was quite nice. I would like that back.
Oh,
actually.
You haven't driven it?
No, I haven't driven it in a while. Yeah. Do you know what? I've tucked up the Range Rover for the winter.
With the 350.
The 350.
Yeah. That makes sense.
See you in March, mate. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know
what would you?
I don't know. I'm trying to think of what cars. I'm thinking Fords.
Fords is
like a Mark II RS is one that stands out to me because they've always held a certain value. Mm. So eventually, are people going to? But I don't know what you would do.
Do you know what Evos?
Any
car that is bought, abused, and then the numbers dwindle of, they then, like R34 GTRs, there's now a huge market for returning them to as original as possible. I think Evos, especially with the underbody work that they need now, Evos, if you don't know, rust like nothing else.
Yeah.
They have some serious stuff that needs doing.
England.com.
Yeah. So I think, maybe that.
I think almost anything Japanese, probably not anything, but I mean, any of the big guys.
Yeah.
You know, like a bit like
Evo Subarus.
Pro Drive did it with the 22B.
Which is
utterly ridiculous. Is that £600,000 or £700,000? Something ridiculous. Cosworths would be very good.
Oh.
I haven't seen that yet, but like an Escort Cosworth that's got like a Mark 1 RS.
Focus.
Mark 1 Focus. To be fair, it doesn't even need that modernizing, but if you put a Mark II interior, like we've said before.
I'm going to put a call out right now. Both Will and I, and I'm not a Ford man. You are a Ford man.
Yeah.
I've never been a Ford man. I do like a Mark I. To be fair, there's lots of Ford things I like.
Mm.
But I need, in my life, doesn't need to be personal, but for the channel, to own a Sierra Sapphire Cosworth.
Yeah.
A four-door Sierra Cosworth. I need it. If you know, and it can be Q-plated. It can be missing a VIN. I don't want to see eBay links to ones that are for 20 grand. If you have one lying around or you know someone that has one lying around that you think we could use for content.
In a nice little shed somewhere.
Maybe he's missing a VIN. Maybe he's missing an owner. Maybe the insurance company's looking for him.
Maybe he's left-hand drive. Maybe he's whatever.
Just let us know because a Sierra SAF, the patriot in me, the bit of me that's half English is beating the shit out of the part that's half Dutch, going, yeah, shut the fuck up, go sit in a corner, we're driving a SAF, right? We're going to go nick it, ram raid the local bookies, and we're off doing donuts. Oh God, I want one. Yeah, I want one so bad.
There is one for sale, isn't there? The one you sent.
The one I sent the other day,
it's now $9,500.
That's where we need to be.
Yeah. It's like a track car been off the road for a while.
And it says, I can't remember what the exact description is, but it says, doesn't have a VIN, probably needs a Q plate.
Right.
That's where we want to be.
Guy. Also, there's a two-wheel drive as well.
Yeah, two-wheel drive. See, four-wheel drive for the bonnet, yeah, mega nerdy.
But two-wheel drive is...
Two-wheel drive's the guy. The four-wheel drive has the cool bonnet vents.
Yeah.
But you can stick them on a two-wheel drive.
Yeah, this stuff. Also, if you're making it, if you're doing it singer style. Also, I actually wouldn't... I don't know what I would change.
No, that's...
I just want it to be...
Rondels.
It needs to just be working and clean.
Yeah.
I don't want to change the engine.
All that you do to singerize a Sierra is nick it so that you can put it on a Q plate and then they go, done.
Perfect, mate. Off it goes. That'd be 12 grand.
That's half the value I rolled in at.
Yeah. Any of those cars would probably end up doing quite well. Like an Escort Cosworth that had... thing is that there are certain things you can't change on them. That, like, you can't really change it. There's that company that does...
The E30? The Redux one?
That one. There's also... But Tolman 205.
Yeah, yeah. Tolman 205.
That's one of the best, like, I've seen where you look at it and you don't actually know.
Exactly.
It doesn't have LED lights, yeah, exactly, and whatever.
The Redux E30, as cool as it is... And the wheels, they're custom made, I think, for that car. It looks like a modified E30 to me.
Yeah.
The beauty with a Singer 911 is that my mum or someone who doesn't know about cars or knows a little bit about cars would go, that's an old Porsche 911.
Yeah. Well, maybe not some of the turbo ones they're doing.
No, the Singer, yeah, like DLS, yeah, ones. But, yeah, like the proper, like, the original Singers, yeah, that's just a Porsche.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's our...
Well, I think that, especially because people are becoming... more disinterested with new stuff. You know how Chris, yeah, Harris is like, he's now like, I don't care about new, not don't care, but he's on this thing where new cars are not really for me.
Yeah.
So he's just going after that old stuff, hence why he's now got an E61 Touring. But I think that'll happen more now where,
oh yeah,
I think, people go, oh, do you know what? There's this 300 grand, 900,000 horsepower Lamborghini thing isn't of interest to me, but I can buy the car from my youth.
Yeah.
Brand spanking new. Without having to deal with all the classic car issues.
Yeah, that's all. That's I don't know. I would like to know if it's a sentiment that's held by, like, different generations to us. But I do genuinely believe that, take it from the mid 90s or from the 90s to the late noughties. That's the best car period we ever had. It was, for me, the perfect mix between not enough nanny stuff. Enough technology to make silly engines with power and
freedom.
We'll get into this. I'm gonna say this. This is my car conspiracy.
Here we go.
I believe in the early 2000s, every car manufacturer was told, by the way, coming up soon, call it 20, 30 years, you're done. We're going electric. We're not having, I feel like there was a bulletin sent out and that's why everyone went, you know what? If this is the end,
we're going crazy.
Stick a V10 in that M5. Yeah. Stick a V8 in the M3. Mercedes, you get the 6.2 in the C class.
You get a V8. You get a V8
because it can't not have.
Yeah.
Audi going, guys, we've just been doing V8s, but how about we twin turbo a V10 and put it in a wagon?
It's a great idea.
I feel like there has to have been someone sent an email. Someone leaked an email that was like, well, guys, we're going to close down.
Someone from the future.
So, exactly. Came back and said,
guys,
you know what?
Get it while it's good.
While you got a couple more years left in you, mess around a bit, and then we're off.
Trust me. Make them big.
Get bigger.
Make them big.
Whatever you're thinking.
And then he went back.
Double it.
Yeah. He went back to the future where we're all driving cabbages and horses. We're back in horses.
We're back in horses.
Back in horses?
We're on e-bikes. We're on e-scooters.
We're in the back of horses.
Any other news for the week? So that's my car conspiracy. If you have a car, you know what? Maybe we should do a car conspiracy
of the week. Do you know what? Oh, do you know what would be so much fun? Is to get a conspiracy theorist on.
I like that.
Like, not quite flat earth. Like, we won't go quite as broad as that, but car flat earth.
Yeah.
I don't know. If you have got a conspiracy theory or you know some guy, we're not going to call you crazy.
Maybe.
We might. Let us know in the comments.
Yeah.
And if also if there's a car you think should be Singer, what should we call it, Singerized? Resto modded.
Yeah.
Resto
modded. I think Singer is, the, Singer is the best example.
Singer is like the OG guy.
A lot of people will call something resto modded and put LED lights in it and a different carpet. Yeah,
and you get a Bluetooth radio.
Singerized, I mean, we met Rob from Singer, the founder. He's one of us.
He's one of the boss.
That's a top 10 podcast guest.
Yeah.
Because we were there for a sponsor.
Yeah.
Who asked him multiple times to talk about what was it? There was a watch brand and tires.
Yeah, you could see how.
And he was like, there. And then someone on the team, I can't even remember who it was, talked about he had his original 911 behind on it. And someone asked basically something about the rear lights, why he did something. And he was like, oh, so the reason I did that, I could only find these bullet connectors, which meant that I had to use this light.
Yeah.
And it turned out really well. You can tell he's just in it for. I'm trying to build the coolest thing.
Yeah.
That's the type of guy.
It's about the cause. Now, off of that, an old brand has been resurrected. I say old, but one that we thought was going to be dead. So now Recaro.
Jaguar. Oh, sorry.
Recaro by this time, maybe. Recaro, because there was a thing that was like, they're dead.
Recaro and BBS.
It really surprised me because I was like, there are Recaros in bloody everything.
Yeah.
I know people probably aren't buying Recaros aftermarket as much. But
although
in every single performance car I see,
it is
normally Recaro. Has this like Recaro option, like Recaro CSs were a huge. It's what you get in Focus RSs, and you used to get BMW M Performance ones, and Renault had it, and Lotus had it, and Land Rover, everything.
Although you say that they don't not that much in aftermarket, and maybe not so much in the UK, where the car scene's a bit more Halfords.
Yeah.
But like you go to the Nürburgring. Every single car has a set of pole positions in it.
Yeah, but enough to like keep a massive factory running. That's what I mean. It feels a bit more small business.
Of course,
than
it does.
Of course, Whereas like having to make 30,000 seats for the new Focus RS
the XR, they're just behind there. You can't really see them, but just off screen.
The Recaros.
Set of Corsa VXR
this is Recaros.
Yeah, these are Recaros.
These Recaros used to get Recaros. And this is not just like, they weren't just Recaro racing seats. They were just Recaro seats.
Yeah.
Anytime. Seats in stadiums, there were seats. Focus STs had it. Vauxhalls had it. Everything had like this, loads of Fords. Mm. Almost pretty much any fast Ford you can think of, probably Vauxhall, had some kind of Recaro seat.
Because we're so back. Guys.
And they're back.
Nice.
An Italian company called Proma.
Nice.
Proma okay. Group. So they've rescued them, given them some investment, and production is going to start again.
We're back. We're so back.
We're so back. So Recaro back in town.
You know what I think would actually do quite well for Recaro? And again, it's very specialized. It's niche. They need to be going after big, you know, manufacturers. But they used to make a seat called, and I want to call it a C88. I might be wrong. Fellow nerds, fill me in. But they are the seats that you find in 70s, 80s, like Gemblers and aftermarket cars. They have the seat switches in the bolster. You know when you see those ones?
Like on some old BMWs and stuff.
Yeah, bring that back. Mm. Start remanufacturing those. I'd buy a set for a car.
Yeah.
Even at silly money, I'd you know, sell a kidney and I'd buy one of those because they're cool looking.
So also there's just other like seat companies copying what Recaro does and probably
can't do that.
Profiting quite well.
Also, you made the pole position. You made the Sportster. We can't lose you, man.
They did come out with, that's what confused me. The carbon seats in the new M4 and like the new M3s, they like,
oh yeah, the similar looking thing.
They came out with the carbon seat. That's a Recaro. That is the new version of that. I can't remember what they call it. It's a Recaro C. I can't remember.
Okay,
it's very similar to a CS. And you can buy it with carbon back ones and they're quite expensive, but they were like, that's like the new generation of Recaro CS. Yeah. So I was like, oh, okay, so like,
so you're still in production? No, we're closing.
Oh, no, sorry, we've actually. Oh,
guys, I'd like to unveil our new seat. That's cool. Can I have one? No, we've closed down.
But it's a stool. so Recaro, so back.
We're back. Very nerdy there. If you're not that into cars, listening to. Yeah, I prefer the pole positions over the CSs.
CSs, mate. Yeah, that's a bunch of letters and numbers. Thank you very much. You're going to like this.
Here we go.
A company has come out with an electric conversion for a Mark 1 MX-5.
Hey man, it doesn't matter because it doesn't matter.
Yeah, but also surely that's just insane.
Yeah,
surely part of the fact that it's a Mark 1 MX-5 is it's got a somewhat revy twin cam four cylinder.
For me, the only purpose of an MX-5 is for car people to learn cars on.
Meanwhile,
and build things on.
This is gonna
that
be,
just undoes it.
So I don't know how much, they haven't released a price yet. I mean,
you know
it's
what that
expensive.
Is? That's American Miata people. Yeah. That's American Miata stuff and English MX-5 stuff is very different. We tend to be, if it's an MX-5 here, it's either your nan has got one still and it somehow hasn't rusted, or it's being skidded into a pole.
Yep.
In America, they have this weird subculture of, God, my original Miatas are great. I love this little thing. It's sunburst yellow, one of 84,000. It's rare. I love keeping it stock and I can't wait to drive it forever. It's a MX-5, man. Modify it and crash it into a pole and then rebuild it and do it again.
There's some big numbers. John, to be fair, they are actually quite an improvement. I think they said a standard car is about 128 horsepower, 110 pounds. So,
That's a later 1.8 Mark 1.
And this has 160 horsepower and 229 pound foot. Ooh, so, maybe as a skid car.
Yeah,
I mean, I want to see one with a welded diff.
A skid day with just MX-5s going.
It's just tire squeal.
Just tire noise.
Just, I want to see this angle kit hydro.
Yeah.
Because that
Essex Arena.
Yeah. 150 miles of range.
I mean, fine.
For how long? I don't know. Yeah. Adds 100 kilos. Takes a week.
What? To charge or?
No, to make. Sorry.
Oh, to do the conversion.
To fit the kit. Pricing.
It's,
not
and confirmed. It's DIY.
Yes, DIY. Well,
do you know what?
No, I think you take it to a company.
Ah, okay. I was going to say, if it's a DIY one, I can actually get behind that because that is in the spirit of MX-5s.
Yeah.
Do something on it yourself because there's no consequences.
What I have a feeling this will be is like this cost £89 million.
Yeah, then
then you get an electric MX-5 at the end.
Yeah.
Sounds like a bad deal.
And then people go, why did you do that to an MX-5?
This is now an electric MX-5.
Sell it, buy it. If you want a good car, Alex and I fight about this a lot. If you want what an MX-5 should be, all the mods that you need to do to an MX-5 to make it good, go and buy an S2000.
Yeah.
That's the start of where an MX-5 gets good, is where an S2000 is standard. I'll fight that hill till I die.
So that's all the news. Again, not much news has happened.
Something cataclysmic might have happened.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Like Ferrari might have just bombed Lamborghini last week and we won't, we're like, Car World's great this week.
BMW have been bought by Mercedes and Audi's gone bust.
Yeah.
If that happens, you're welcome.
We like to do a thing called The Forum, if this is your first ever podcast, where we let you guys or a listener or Ben behind the camera ask a question to two mega car nerds that they've been wondering and too embarrassed to ask.
But what have we had prior? We've had how coolant works.
We've had why are car people the way that they are, which is kind of a good one.
What makes a certain brand of car person, like what makes you a BMW person?
Yep.
What makes you a Mercedes person?
Here Ben comes in. Clean work. Very nice, Ben.
Forum question. If you could only drive one manufacturer's car for the rest of your life, which brand and why? Ideally, both of you wouldn't choose BMW. That was from the... I don't think I can say that name.
Please, if you can.
Okay. We'll play game here. Neither of you are going to laugh.
Okay, I'm not going to laugh.
It's a simple game.
It's just his name. It's his normal name.
The Peganator 2556.
Ooh, he's 25th, 5th, and the 6th of his name.
Okay.
Okay.
Fair enough.
So, how about this? First, let's answer the question with no holes barred. BMW.
It's a bit. Do you know what, though?
No. Okay. Let's be. Look, I'm going to make some qualifications for his question. You can't just say Bugatti because none of us can go out and buy a Bugatti right now.
But why can't I choose that?
Because then you can't drive a car because you don't have the money to buy a Bugatti.
That's not fair. Sorry, you can only choose cars that you can buy right now.
I think you'd wear them like this.
That's not fair.
What do you mean? But this is a real question.
He said, if you could only drive one manufacturer's car.
Oh, okay. Well, if I can only drive...
But also remember, you could choose a McLaren F1, but then you have to daily that.
Yeah, well, yeah, and then you only have the choice of a 650 or a 570 or 600 LT.
That's not bad, but there's not that much range.
At some point, you're gonna get bored of only doing supercar stuff.
I hate this question.
Yeah, I couldn't
ever do that. There are people out there, and you're listening. This is how they live. They pick Vauxhall and go,
"That's my guy.
That's my guy." Everyone else is cack.
The smart answer is probably Porsche because you have the all round.
That's fair.
I would go Porsche.
Basically, you need something that has a little bit of variety.
I'd rather weld my nuts to my leg.
Hey, we can make that happen. because like a Lamborghini, that's one of the first things that springs to mind.
I could have a Urus.
But here's the thing. You also have to worry about the future because you choose Lamborghini.
My teacher to me.
And 20 years' time, they pull a Jaguar and go all electric. Tough. You're locked in.
Yeah, but I've got the old ones.
Of course, but then that limits what you're doing.
Then you have those cars forever.
I can
have any of the cars, any amount.
I didn't write the question. I am not the Peganator.
Ben, mate, Ben, you made this question. Answer us.
I would say that it could be any car, sure.
But I can have as many of them.
You guess, yeah.
I mean, BMW is a good answer.
Then there's no supercars.
They do lack that big guy.
Yeah, he doesn't have a halo.
Porsche does have a nice range. I just don't want it.
Okay. Now let me ask you. It is right now, not dream. It's still the question, but it's, you're not a billionaire. You're not going out and just picking, you know, an F50 or an F40 or something. It's when you go to buy a car, like you do every few months, you may only choose from that one brand. Then that's why my answer was BMW, because there's enough cheap ones that can still be fun.
Yeah.
But no holes barred. It might be Ferrari or Lamborghini for me. I don't think I could do Porsche. There's some really cool stuff, but I'd get bored.
If it's all you have, I mean, I imagine all the turtlenecks you need to buy.
God, how much golf would I be playing?
I would legit go Porsche.
I know, but that's you. Ben, you are a Porsche man.
I know.
You're a man of Porsche.
Because I think they had the best range, though.
Yeah, but they do.
They're very similar.
Let's get a bit of zest in your life.
This is my thing with Porsche, is that even a 911 to a, and go top end, a 911 GT3 to a Cayman GT4 to a Boxster Spider, they're all very linear. Like they're similar.
Again, are we going terms and conditions here?
Yeah.
Can I go old?
Yeah.
I'm old. Okay. So realistically, like you could have in Porsche, you could have, you know, a Cayenne or Panamera, God forsake you, if you have that as a daily, and then you could have a Carrera GT. And then like there is quite a range in the middle. I don't really know of many other manufacturers that could do that.
No, that's true. But my point is, granted, Carrera GT, not as much, but they all have the same vibe. They've never changed a vibe, if that makes sense.
If you get out of your box, like if and I then get into the 911,
you're similar. Again, whereas if I go and get in a Diablo and then go get in a Huracan, those are going to be two completely different cars, despite the fact that they both perform probably kind of similarly. I think that no matter what generation of Porsche you try, they're going to be very similar.
Yeah.
Is Lamborghini not very similar though?
No, that's my point.
Well, their V12 lineup is the same.
No,
every
but they have been through so many decades of change. They started as a grand touring company. They started out luxury, and then they went supercar, and then they went mental, and then they went Audi. Yo, we're going to make this reliable. Then they went cool. We're now V12s and NA. Now we're hybrid. There's some Porsche.
You've got V10s in there. You got V12s.
Porsche. As much as I love them, they always been Porsche.
Yeah.
They're just making the same car, which I like.
Whoa.
But it's the same.
You're admitting that.
I never disagreed with that. But I can tell the differences. That was my argument. I believe my answer, stake in the ground, Ferrari. Ben has made himself clear he is a Porsche man.
Yeah.
William, make your choice.
State your name. The hardest question.
It is.
I cannot.
For the purpose.
For the pure reason that I would get to drive something that gives me a hard on every day, it's a Lamborghini.
There we go. We've got three different gang. So Pegmeister or Pegaman, whatever your name is.
What was he, Pegatron?
Pegatron.
The Peganator.
The Peganator. Please enjoy that answer. By maybe the next 20 minutes, the answer will have changed.
Just know that I hate it.
Yeah. So that's the forum question done. What else we got?
I think we got some updates to go over. Stuff that we've been up to. We have a YouTube channel called Top Dead Center.
If
you didn't know, we buy lots of cars, do lots of things.
Lots of terrible
to do
cars.
With cars.
And we've just bought
quite, I was going to say cool.
Yep.
It's red.
Yep. This video comes out on the 19th odd, so you're going to see it next week.
Yeah.
You will see what we have bought.
23rd, I believe.
And it's a great one.
Oh, it's good.
It's not good.
So we've bought a Toyota MR2.
No.
Oh, sorry. It's a Ferrari 355.
That's the one.
And it's got how many Ferrari badges?
33 was the count that I had. Stop the count.
Ferrari badges. And actually, from doing the research for this video, this is when I discovered something quite crazy. We know about Ferrari being
litigious.
A bit of a dweeb.
Yeah, they...
You can't sit with us. You're not using that. Sort of fair.
Yeah.
Sort of fair.
They have kind of cultivated...
Also, come on, guys.
The best sports car brand of all time.
Yeah, but why are you going after the little guy?
Hey, man, someone's just trying to make a replica.
But basically, I didn't realize this. As of like semi-recently, in the last few years, they made a form on their website. I think they call it the
Authentication.
Anti-something-something form, but it is a legit form on the Ferrari website. You can go on there and snitch on someone. You can actually snitch on someone. So if you see someone who's making fake Ferrari parts, I mean, to be fair, kind of a bit dodgy, but fake Ferrari parts, fake Ferrari merch, they're quite hot.
Yeah,
on that
big merch.
They make
big
money.
That's
off of, like,
one of the big guys.
Stuff. But also fake cars.
Yeah.
So you could submit this form, send it to Ferrari, and I'm not sure if it's successful or not, but basically they, as a reward, you get a gift.
They call it a gadget, right?
If you look into the terms and conditions a bit further, it'll be when you receive the gadget. So you are going to receive some utterly awful, chintzy Ferrari.
A pen,
or
was it a torch? You know, there's clicker torch where it's just got a little Ferrari logo on it.
You're going to receive something worse than the fake that you've reported.
And also, if you see the video and you think, ha, I'm going to go and report them, guess what? We already reported ourselves.
Too late.
So, nice try.
Too late. But that's very interesting. We've driven it around.
The reactions are surprising because maybe to anyone listening here, you see those Ferrari replicas and you go, oh God, that's sad. Mm. To me, the same. I see one, I know it instantly. I know it by the offset of your wheels that you're wrong. But everyone knows. No one knows. Josh, who works with us in the merch unit, he's clued in on cars. He has an E46, he got 330. We drove it in the other night and he went, you guys bought a Ferrari? And we went, look a bit closer.
Yeah.
And it was only after that that he went, oh wait, something's wrong.
Yeah.
But he thought it was a 355. It's not a bad replica, to be fair.
No.
It's one of the better ones. Sorry, when I say it's not a bad replica, it actually is. Bad. It's a bad replica.
Yeah.
Because the company that made the kit is BAD.
Bad. We had someone say they reckon it was worth 70 to 80 grand.
Yep,
so, you might find it on eBay by the end of the month.
One woman said it was worth about 50, which is, she's bang on the correct market price for a 355 at an auction right now. Yep. So we reckon she might have been on the inside.
In the know.
She's Enzo Ferrari's cousin or something.
Tomorrow we take it to a dyno. so by the time this goes out, we will know that power figure, but you won't know that power figure.
No.
We don't know.
But also, because it's not just any... So people like to make these cars on either a Pontiac Fiero, which is American. It's a horrible car. I don't care. Give me some flack. The Iron Duke is not a good engine. Or you take it over to Japan and you get a Mark II MR2 SW20, most of which are naturally aspirated slow auto. Our car is a manual turbo car.
Yeah.
They're not quick. They're not slow. 200 horsepower.
And he's got some pep in his step.
So I'm hoping for good things tomorrow.
And it has a dump valve.
And it has... Oh, it's probably the biggest telltale that it's a replica because you see a Ferrari coming towards you and it goes...
It is baffling. Also, as far as we can tell, the only actual like modification...
Yeah, and everything else looks stock.
Everything else looks stock. And he's like, I want to look like a Ferrari. I reckon I stick a wicked dump valve on it though. It's going to be wicked. I don't know if maybe the stock car, the base car already had it or something. I don't know, but yeah.
Anyway. I mean, it is an import. It's a Japanese import. It's an early one. It's a 1991, which is the one that's known for the snap oversteer.
Yeah.
Because they then, in the later revisions, is what they call them in MR2 terms, changed the suspension and tire, what do you call it, stagger, so that it would help for it. So we got the dangerous one.
Oh, to be fair, though, we got stagger on ours.
We got stagger. We got, usually I think they came with 15s or 16-inch wheels. Ours have 18s.
18s, yeah.
And they're 10J wide.
Really quite a large spacer.
With 80 mil. I was thinking about this earlier. 160 mil total of spacer is what we have across the back of that car.
That's wild.
16 centimeters of spacers.
Yeah.
That's tough.
I mean, car manufacturers and engineers are just shaking their heads silently right now. Yeah, so we bought a fake Ferrari. And that's about it, actually.
That's it. For this week, we will see you next week. We said we might take a break week, but we think we can cram in enough that we can see you through Christmas. If we're missing a week or two, don't worry about it. We will come back. But thank you very much for listening to the Cars Rule Everything Around Me podcast. Let us know in the comments if it's rule or ruin for you. And we will see you next week for the post-Christmas, not Christmas special.